is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are righteous.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, we call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we've sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
My God, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake, he forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We chant the Eucharist of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
place of honor and glory. Enlighten our minds by your Holy Spirit, that confessing Jesus as Lord, we may be led into all truth. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Ezekiel, 18th chapter. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes. The children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, the souls of the father, as well as the soul of the son is mine. The soul who has sinned shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is not your ways that are not just? What a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does justice? He shall die for it, for the injustice that he has done, he shall die again. When a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life, because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions that he had committed. He shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, you are my ways not just. Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions. Let iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgression that you have committed. And make yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today comes from the 25th chapter, and we will read it as follows. To you, O Lord,
I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust.
Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exalt over me.
Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me.
For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long.
Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love.
For they have been humbled.
Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions.
According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good, upright is the Lord.
Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way.
He leads the humble in what is right.
And teaches the humble his way.
All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness.
Those who keep his covenant and his testimonies.
The epistle today comes from the book of Philippians, the second chapter. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort in love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my job by being the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and in one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or deceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine with the light in the world. Hold fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run vain labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should also should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now, if you're able, I invite you to stand in honor of Jesus' words of the Holy Gospel, and we sing the Alleluia verse. As he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I will also ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where did it come from? From heaven or from man?" They discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe in him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered, "Jesus, we do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
Having heard God's word, we confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us in the Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of God. And he will come again, with glory and judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
the dear ones that we love, the people we see every day, we know what makes them happy, at least some of the time. We figure out what pleases them, at least some of the time. As simple human beings, it's not always obvious, and it changes from time to time. But what about God? What gives God pleasure? What makes God happy? Well, it should be obvious. He tells you in his word. Joyful worship, obedience, prayer, faith, love, all these elements are part of the larger answer God gives to that question through the words of the prophet Ezekiel. But did you hear that last sentence in the reading from today's Old Testament reading? God says, I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God, so turn and live. That's God's good pleasure, that you live. The Bible's every page tells God's delight in life. In the beginning, on the sixth day, the Lord formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Later in the Gospel of John, you're told God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the incarnate Son of God, what's the joy of Jesus' heart? He says, in his own words, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus died to give you life. Jesus rose again to pour into you the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. We were buried, therefore, with Christ by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. Everything you read from God's word in the Holy Scriptures, right down to the Bible's last chapter, the Spirit and the bride, or the church, say, come, let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. In this font, the Holy Spirit pours out the water of life for you. At this very table, the resurrected Jesus feeds you and will feed you here this morning with his own living body and blood. He is everlasting life. At this pulpit, the Father speaks into your heart new life. So what is God's good pleasure? His pleasure is that you live. So if God desires us to have life, then why do people die? Why is it that sometimes I feel dead inside? Why do some go to damnation, the horror of never-ending death? Does death give God pleasure? No, never. People chase their own pleasures, and that's the killer. The Lord says from the pen of Ezekiel, turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. God designed us for life, even life like his own. His life overflows with self-giving love. But What if we live to please only ourselves? James describes the twisted details of that action. Each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it brings forth death. Selfish desire impregnates us with the killer. Sin births death. The sinner believes, I must make myself happy. He works and works to get a great life. Yet his sin earns only more of the unhappy wage. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God once and for always delights freely to give you life. Ezekiel's God could not be clearer. He says, as I live, declares the Lord God, all souls are mine. The soul who sins shall die. Turn down his gift of life, and you're a goner, gone forever. And yet today the living God still calls to you, turn to me and live. We all know that Ezekiel's hearers write, we know all that. Sin brings death. Yes, right here we see how God isn't fair. Our grandparents 50 years ago followed that king, wicked king Manasseh, and they worshiped idols and they shed innocent blood and they offered their own children by sacrifice, and still they lived as prosperous and free. Our parents these last 15 years followed our recent evil kings. They too turned away from the true God, those twisted people that they were, but God gave them their homeland. And now we see in our generation, Ezekiel, you prophet, here we are exiles in Babylon. Why does God give us this grief? We aren't perfect, but we aren't bad as our perverse grandparents and parents. Or in today's modern vernacular, why does God allow bad things happen to good people? Ezekiel's people quoted a lame excuse that had become proverbial for them. The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Nothing bad happened to our fathers chomping on those grapes. For them, life was sweet, delicious. But for us, their innocent children, we're the ones who are grinding our teeth and sick to our stomach. 600 years before Jesus, Ezekiel was hearing the blame game. God had heard people pass the hot potato ever since Adam sinned. It's not my fault. Blame the woman. She gave that apple to me. And then Eve, too, bounced her blame. Oh, it was the serpent who deceived me. Do people play the blame game today? I'm a victim of circumstances beyond my control. Every one of us could name some culprit. My life is just not fair. I didn't do anything that bad. I didn't hurt anybody or kill anybody. Who could blame you for driving? Who could blame God if he ignored our excuses? His mutinous, murderous generation, he could have abandoned. Like a friend heart struck by accusation, God defends himself even to us. He says, you say the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? You blame others for your own evil. My justice stands true. When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. No excuses. The injustice that he has done, his sin, will kill him. Not somebody else. Still, God says, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness that he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life. God is ever eager to forgive and to give life. God declares, because he considered and turned away from all of the transgressions that he had committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. God comes back, O Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. God promises you will not be punished for your parents' sins, not for any other's wrongdoing. You are responsible for yourself. Am I to say, woohoo, that's fair? I will not be blamed for other people's evil. I'm accountable only for my own sin. It is true. I don't want to die. Not for somebody else's sin. I don't want to die for my own sin either. God commands, then repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all of the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. But that's the problem. Where can I cast my transgressions away from myself? How? My twisted old heart wants to get away with what I want. Heart is dying, dead. My old spirit is selfish. The wind is knocked out of me. Could a heart surgeon transplant a new heart into herself? How can I make myself new? Who can rescue me from myself? In his very command, hear God's promise. He will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. Only you, O God, can create in me a new heart. Only you can renew a right spirit within me. Turn us away from ourselves. Turn us to you, O God. Away from our sin. Turn us to your forgiveness. Away from our deserved death. Turn us to your gift of life. To you and me, the resurrected Jesus has given the good news that changes everyone. Changes everything. We know what pleases God. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gives life. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, you know you take no pleasure in the death of anyone. All my blame you put on Jesus. By your Spirit, keep me turned to you. May my life, may every life forever praise you. Amen. Now the peace of God, that peace that passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus till he finally returns in glory. Amen. Very well, I invite you to please stand for prayer. O Lord, we are your people, chosen by your grace to be your own possession and granted mercy upon mercy. Hear your people who cry to you in need and remember us according to the favor you have shown to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, that we may walk in the path of salvation made known in your word. Hear our complaints and quiet them by your merciful deliverance, that we may respond with trust and thanksgiving, Lord, in your mercy. Encourage us, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that we may not lose heart, but being of one mind and one will may serve you with gladness, doing the works of your kingdom and speaking your word of witness throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy. Help us, O Lord, to hold fast to your word, and bless us with faithful pastors who will preach and teach your eternal gospel, that we may rejoice in doing your will. Guide those who are considering church work vocations and bless them as they are formed for your service. Lord, in your mercy, shine your light upon us, O Lord, that we may do what is good and right and live as faithful citizens in our nation. Bless Donald, our president, Gary, our governor, and all those who are elected and appointed to make, administer, and judge our laws. Lord, in your mercy, enlighten us with godly knowledge and wisdom, O Lord, and bless those who pursue science to improve our lives and the lives of those in greatest need. Bless all honorable vocations and all honest labor, and lead the unemployed to good jobs and noble work, not only for their own interests, but for the good of us all. Lord, in your mercy, show us your compassion, O Lord, and in your mercy grant healing, comfort, and peace to all who suffer. Deliver them from all their afflictions, pain, sorrow, and fear. We especially pray for those who have requested our prayers and all of those that we now name in our hearts before you. Lord, in your mercy. Guide us, O Lord, that with all our hearts, minds, bodies, and resources, we may serve you. Give special blessing to the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, and to the many ways that they bring the good news of your salvation and the works of your love across our nation and the world. Lord, in your mercy, unite us, O Lord, that we may be of one mind and one will in doctrine, witness, and service. Bless us as we come at your bidding to receive the body and blood of your Son at his table. Grant that what we receive in this Holy Communion, we may keep up in holy hearts and holy lives. Lord, in your mercy, help us, O Lord, to remember the faithful who loved and served you and who now rest from their labors. Bring us with them to that most blessed day when together we shall dwell in your presence on high forevermore. Lord, in your mercy, grant to us all good things needful for this body and life and profitable for our salvation. Keep us from all things harmful that sustained in time of want and guarded in time of prosperity, we may endure to the day of our Lord's coming and be judged worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. From Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns through all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death, and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, and we will praise you and saying,